Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This is Cynthia Ganoff, and you are listening to the Mesmerized Podcast. Hey guys, welcome to Mesmerized. Guess what? As you are listening to this, if you're listening to this when it comes out, our family's on vacation. We are in Switzerland and then in Italy. I know, right? Must be nice. But this is a graduation gift to our kids. We've never taken them out of the country. Super excited. And so that's where we are right now. But my sweet friend Heather and I were taping our other show called Sidetrack, and she was sharing some things going on in her life. We were just talking, and I was like, you know what? We need to tape a show right now where we just kind of talk about some things you've learned in the last year and just motherhood in general and parenting and finding joy in the midst of the hard, even when that's not related to parenting. And so I'm so thrilled that we get to have a conversation with her because Heather's so much fun and she's so wise. The two of us are just kind of talking about all the things going on in life. So I hope you enjoy this. I am thinking this summer we need to do a little more of this. We'll have some traditional interviews. I'm going to do some independent episodes this summer, just me by myself. And then I'm going to bring in some of my friends that are wise and amazing and some of the women who shape who I am. And so who better to kick it off with than Heather McFadden? Here we go. Heather McFadden. What's your middle name?
Christine.
Heather Christine McFadden. Did you, when your mom was mad at you, would she say Heather Christine Price?
I never was in trouble. Just kidding.
One of those.
I lied a lot.
Still do.
I lied a lot so that I would not get in trouble.
Oh, to cover your tracks.
Mm-hmm. I would lie.
Okay. Do you know something, Heather McFadden?
Mm-hmm.
That I literally, I bet you once a week, that's a little much. Once every other week, someone says, I didn't know you have another podcast. Does that happen to you where people don't know about Sidetrack?
What has happened recently is I'll be speaking somewhere, and as part of my slides, I have that, okay, where to stay and connected with me. It's Don't Mom Alone.
Mm-hmm.
And someone in the audience will say, don't forget to mention that you do Sidetracked.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to add that to my presentation.
Sidetrack.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about it because we're in summer, and as this is releasing, I'm in Europe.
Must be nice.
It's a sidetrack.
Everybody's in Europe.
I know. The whole world is. I mean,
everybody's in Europe. And they're all cute.
Oh, I'm going to be cute.
Are you going to have a lot of gelato?
I probably. JB doesn't eat anything, so we'll probably just have gelato and slices of pizza. I don't know. What are we going to eat in Switzerland? Chocolate?
Delicious chocolate. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I was like, you know what? People need to know, if they don't know, on Mesmerize that Sidetrack exists, and you and I do Sidetrack, and it comes out every other week, unless you're paying, then it's every week. And it's in the comedy sector, and all we do is talk about nonsense that we're sidetracked by, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
And so I thought—
It's a good way to use our ADHD symptoms.
Symptoms. And here's the thing. You keep having interventions.
Yeah.
Where, yeah. Heather, well, we don't have guests, okay, everyone. There's not guests on Sidetrack until Heather wants to prove, like, make a point or teach me something.
We have surprise guests.
And then it's always someone that's something specific to me. That usually, like, inattentiveness, ADHD,
rest.
Menopausal rest, performance issues. That sounded dirty.
Nope.
No. We're not going to say it. Okay, so I was thinking of something, and yeah. Everyone save your hate mail. We're just having fun, okay? But I was thinking about Enneagram, and I ChatGPT'd something.
Oh, no.
And I was going to use it. We taped Sidetrack today, everybody, too. So it comes out every Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You can subscribe to Sidetrack. Okay, but I sidetracked what kind of intervention. I'm like, I want to have an intervention.
Oh, I'm getting intervention.
Well, no, I didn't have any. But
intervened?
But I'm getting intervened. I want you to know that I was like, okay, what kind of intervention would you have for an Enneagram 4?
Oh, so many things.
And because, you know, I'm so, if y'all love the Enneagram or hate it, whatever.
You're going to get hate mail for sure talking for about sure. the Enneagram.
Okay.
So I had someone leave a whole public comment on Spotify.
About it?
I liked the guest and still she brought up Enneagram. As Christians, we shouldn't be talking about cults.
Oh, gosh. My cult is Diet Dr. Pepper. And
like, there's things you're probably worshiping.
Yeah. Oh, my okay. idol's Diet mm-hmm. Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Okay. So real quick. I'm a 3, everybody. And this whole show is not about Enneagram. This is what Sidetracked is, but we're doing it on Mesmerize. I'm going to ask her something serious in a minute. But real quick, what is a 3? I'm a 3, and I joke that I have I don't say I have performance issues. Why do I keep saying that? I like...
Achiever is
I'm
what
I'm an achiever.
Called.
I'm an achiever.
You like to get stuff done.
I want to get stuff done. What's a 4, Heather? I know, but...
A romantic.
Okay. What's another way to say that, Heather?
A hot mess. Emotional.
They tend to be emotional.
Yeah. We can feel all the feels.
Okay. So I ChatGPT'd what kind of intervention I would need for a 4. And they said the operation is to save the 4 before they drown in their own depth.
Yeah.
And the setting would be a dimly lit room with vintage candles, handwritten poetry on the walls, Bon Iver, should I know that, playing softly in the background, and at least one antique chair no one's allowed to sit in because it holds too many emotions, which did make me laugh because the things on your walls we're sitting here are like sentimental in a good way. But something-
like you're like, can we get rid of that chair? I'm like, no, that's for my dad's office.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the attendees would be a therapist, a barista who knows their coffee order by heart.
Yeah.
A friend who's willing to
like
say-
when you ordered a coconut mocha instead of a coconut milk one.
I tried.
My husband doesn't. He's a
thing. He doesn't
as well.
Even know.
Yeah.
You also would need in attendance a friend who's willing to say, you're not too much. The world is just not enough.
Yes, you're not too much.
And a golden retriever to remind them that joy still exists.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the opening line ChatGPT said I should give you if I had an intervention. Hey, we love you. But you've been journaling for 6 days straight. We're concerned. Also, no one can afford any more homemade candles.
I need a candle right now.
Okay. And so here's the goals of our intervention. If I were to have one, remind them that suffering is not a competitive sport.
Mm.
Assure them their feelings are valid, but not every Instagram caption has to include the phrase soul unraveling.
Soul unraveling. I need to use that one.
And there's a couple others. And it says, remind them not everyone who texts K, like, okay, but K is mad at them.
Sure. Period.
I laughed so hard. So that's what an intervention would look like for you. But then, you know, I had to put in one on a 3. Do you want to hear a little bit of 3 or not really?
I don't. This is your show.
Well, you're here for it.
I'm here for it. I already know how I'd intervene with you because I intervene with my husband all the time. this is what I would say. Tell me if this is what it says. You are loved and you are worthy, not because of what you do, but because of who you are. And it's rest is productive. And
I dozed off.
What does it say?
It says you need to have a PowerPoint or a slide deck. The first slide says your worth does not equal your resume.
Yep.
It says you can't KPI your way into heaven. What's KPI?
KPI.
Tracy?
Shit, nobody knows
what if it's dirty
who Tracy is,
like the time when we googled married sex looking for a book and got a lot more than that, right?
KPI meaning key performance indicator. It's a quantifiable measure of performance over time for a specific objective.
See, I feel bad on myself that I didn't even know.
Yeah.
And then it said you should have a graph showing how people still like them even before they had a podcast, 2 side hustles, and a vision board for their dog.
For their dog.
And then it said the Abby. Highlights of the intervention would be someone dressed as Oprah who reminds them that crying doesn't make them inefficient. Mm-hmm. And a fake awards ceremony where they're handed a trophy that says, congrats on finally sitting still. I had all kinds of things. So I just chuckled.
Watching a movie.
Yes.
We just interviewed a neurologist and.
I can't sit that long.
We learned that might be why you don't enjoy movies is.
Because what, Heather?
Because of your attention.
It's
challenges.
It's never been it's never been diagnosed except by Heather, who also pointed out I have a.
Do you think you'll watch a movie on the airplane?
I guess so. Do you know, I want to take my computer. You know I want to take my computer.
You're not going to?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to drag it around, but you know I'm going to edit some of that book.
I would say don't take it if you can. So just take a break. Rest is productive. You'll come back. You have all these great ideas.
Last night, Kate wanted to watch a movie. These kids, all they do is watch
movies. We watched a movie last night.
What'd you watch?
It's
Harry Carey.
No, you would think it's Harry Carey. It's Harakiri. It's basically a Japanese film. It's one that you read the subtitles, and it was made in 1962. It's one of the top 100 movies, and it's about samurais.
You slandered it so bad, I can barely stay with
you. Harakiri. Harakiri.
Stop while you're ahead. Mm-hmm. You can't keep saying that.
Aging samurai. Hanshiro Tsugumo. It was 2 hours and 13 minutes, and we watched it last night.
Okay, we watched the...
You can read it.
Murder on the Orient Express or whatever, maybe.
The new one?
Yeah, but I fell asleep.
Cynthia.
Darn the luck.
I'm Do sure you know how it ends? You know the...
Oh, someone gets murdered, I'm guessing. Well, I saw that part. I don't know.
You don't know who did it.
I don't know who did it, but maybe I'll watch it later. Okay, let's move on. Here's what I was wanting to talk to you about.
What are you talking about?
I have so many fun, wise friends, much like you.
Sure.
And I feel like, do you feel this way when you go to lunch with friends or you're hanging out with them and like they'll just say stuff and you're like, that's smart. Like, how do I not know that? Or how this isn't discussed more? I feel like there's always something. Like they're going through something. And I love that you and I both have podcasts. By the way, I'll say in the intro and outro, but you know, Heather has Don't Mom Alone and great podcasts for moms. But we have on lots of incredible guests, very wise guests.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just want to hear from like the whoever's just hanging out doing the thing, right? The whatever. And what are they learning? And I thought about that. I'm like, I'm just going to start asking my friends some questions. And I was like, okay, I'm going to ask Heather this. And so I'm curious, what have you learned in the last year? What do you now know?
What do I now know? I think that when you asked me this and to think about it, and I was like, oh shoot, what have I learned? I don't know. It's been a rough year, but I think it's
That's
been
so four of you.
It's so for me. How have I suffered? But it has been a lot of different griefs, losing my son's friend passed away. My friend passed away. My son went to college. It was like a lot of loss. And it felt like I was just in a dark place. But I think that what I learned was a sermon my pastor did on hope. And he defined hope as believing in the unimaginable good things that God can do.
Mm.
And I was realizing how often I believe in imagined worst case scenarios.
Right.
Like I'm imagining like these things can go bad. Like you're about to go on your trip and I'm sure there's different
scenarios. Thinking I'm going to die?
No. I could imagine that I would be like thinking about what could go wrong or this could happen or this could happen. But I never think and put energy towards these unimaginable good things that God is able to do and how much energy I put into the worst case instead of the hope side of things. And so I think I'm really leaning into hope. And I think there was a lot in the fall that I was just hard. And I didn't know all the good that was coming in the spring, like a lot of opportunities and like trips and things that I didn't even know were going to be offered to me. And I think what's helped me is when I go to those hard places again, is remembering I don't know what's around the bend. Like, I don't know the unimaginable good that could be. This is hard right now, but there's like really unexpected good things that could be coming. And can I hold on to that hope, even if it sounds kind of Pollyanna foolish, if the hope is rooted not in what I'm doing, but in what God's doing, it's a real hope.
Yeah.
I think when you're in a bad place, like hope takes on a new meaning.
Yes. Yes.
Like it seems like a silly word until you actually need it.
Until you need it. Well, and the thing is it's hard to see hope in the midst of the loss, right? Mm-hmm. Because then you naturally go to the worst case because you feel like you're watching the worst case.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then I have to step back too and tell me if you have this, like what looks worst case scenario to me, if as a believer, it's not worst case.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And always,
even as a mom, like
there's
like,
always a redemption option.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And like the kid's going to college. That's hard. I mean, that is a grieving process. But I had to step back from that a little bit and be like, I had the privilege of seeing my kid graduate.
Mm-hmm.
I had the privilege of moving them into their dorm.
Yeah.
I have the privilege of seeing them. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I have to look at it from that perspective too, that that's not a given.
That's right? Not an automatic. Yeah.
That we get mm-hmm. to see that. And that I have a kid healthy enough that can go to college.
Yeah.
And that can be successful on their own. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? Like breaking that down a little bit. And the same thing, like when our friend lost a child, that's worst case scenario, right? Like, like you're saying, like, let's not Pollyanna it, but let's also realize he is the Lord. He's with the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. And there is.
Yeah.
We don't grieve as those who have no hope. I mean, I think it's even in the worst of the worst, we have something unimaginable. We can't even, like, I mean, just because you're going to Europe, I'm going to brag a little bit. Going to Turks and Caicos, seeing that blue water. Ooh,
she was going to compete
on that. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. But seeing the blue water, like, you're thinking, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. this is a glimpse of heaven. Mm-hmm. Like, heaven's better than this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like not even scratching the surface of how amazing our eternity will be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we do have hope. And I think hope has come to mean so much more to me this year. So
In the middle of the hard
or like situations with kids and you're like, oh my gosh, I cannot see where this is going. Mm-hmm. And then totally shocked and blown away by good things that I was not expecting.
Yeah. I think I've said this maybe on Sidetracked a lot, but how especially, and I don't want to embarrass him, but with Brett, not that he listens. I assure you, he's not driving around listening to Mesmerize in his cherry bomb truck.
He could be.
But, you know, just some of the hard when he was younger, whether it was academically or some friendships or things. And I just kept sensing, and I know this doesn't sound like the Lord, it sounds like Cynthia, but I kept sensing that the Lord was saying, you're going to be surprised. Like, you're going to be surprised. Like, mm-hmm. I'm doing something. Mm-hmm. And you know, I fast forward and I've said this, and I say this not because by any means that I want to prop Brett up on some pedestal. Because listen, I could tell you the other side of a lot of things with that sweet boy. But as he was graduating, just getting to see him, and we talked about this on Sidetrack, but winning some really, really cool awards, character awards, and seeing academically how well he ended up doing at the end. And I mean, it was hard fought his whole life, but did well. And he got in all the schools he applied to except for one. And none of this is the end all be all that our kids only successful if they get the award or they get in the right college or none of that. But at the end of the day, to see how through the struggle, the Lord built a man that is kind and caring. And, you know, the administrators gave him this award. It's like, he's a friend to everyone. Mm. He got awarded the hardest worker. Well, he's the hardest worker because he's had to be his whole life. He's kind because he knows what it's like to not have had been the one that was included in all the things. And in the midst of the struggle, I wish that to your point that I would have had a godly hope and belief in what the Lord could do. And that doesn't mean it took away the hard is still there, all the way through, but now being able to see it on the other side and look back and be like, okay, like mm-hmm. hold out for hope for what the Lord will do, without taking away the pain a lot of times, but
it just feels like a better everyday existence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause again, to go back to that Enneagram 4, I can go to the Eeyore side of it. Mm-hmm. Look at this is wrong and this is wrong and this is wrong. I mean, you saw me today. I was like so mad at the car dealership for wasting my 2 hours, you know, and not even getting the work done. It's like I can sit in the, you know, woes, but to sit in the hope takes intention for me.
To sit in the hope takes intention. I think to sit in the hope takes intention for most of us.
I mean, I have really good friends, like it's said in your little intervention, like the golden retrievers. I have friends that I am in relationship with because they do help pull me towards that. And maybe they default into not dealing with the hard mm-hmm. all the time. But at the same time, like, I don't know, if I'm going to err one way, I think that would be what Jesus would be in.
Yeah.
Not that he's in denial of the suffering in the world, but I don't think he would let it bring him down.
Yeah.
He would get away with God. He would get away, pray.
Yeah.
In the midst of the heart. Yeah.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
I wrote about this in my book that we're a long way from promoting. So don't anybody be like, is she already promoting her book? I'm not. But I remember when I was young, and I wrote a chapter on this. When I was young, in Sunday school, when I was in like second or third grade, the teachers made us. I mean, I did not want any part of this. We had to memorize this passage of scripture. Mm-hmm. I was so put out about it. But they would bribe us with donuts. So I'm like, well, I'm going to do my part because I want the donut. Totally. But it was, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be too. And the fact that I can quote that still from second grade tells you what you need to know about planting the Lord's word in your heart, whether or not your kids want it or don't want it, which is what I do at JB every morning. Like I make him memorize scripture on the way to school. But I say that I remember thinking, like, and I wrote about this in the book, why of all the verses is that the one they picked? And I look back, I'm like, because you know what? I think I know now in my 50s, because I think they knew what I needed to know. They were ancient, which means they're probably my age, but they had lived enough life to know that we need reminders that this is not our home and that he's gone to prepare a place and this is not our home, but he will come again and will receive us into his home, his mansions. And I was reminded, I was thinking, these people are probably like, if kids need to, you know, you're going to come to a point in life where your kids have learning differences or they're estranged, or you've got a prodigal and you've got financial trouble. Your marriage is sleep
because you're so sweaty.
You're so sweaty. Your bra doesn't fit right. That's a sidetrack.
Let not your heart be troubled.
Not your heart be troubled. Your bra is bad and you sweat a lot.
We need to make a menopause version of the verse.
They have the message. We should do the menopause.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was just reminded when I was writing that about, like, I'm so glad that they made me learn those verses, because that's the truth. That's the hope. This is not our home. I think that was even the title chapter. Like, this isn't our home. And when all the stuff happens, just being reminded of that. And so I love that this last year, that's something you've learned.
Yeah. When I reflect back, that's been a big, big lesson.
I was thinking about Phil Robertson died as we're taping this just a couple days ago. And have you ever interviewed any of the Duck Dynasty folks? Did y'all ever watch that show?
No.
Okay.
No.
Brett loved that show when he was younger. And so I interviewed on my old podcast. Well, I was in Nashville. I interviewed Sadie live and with Kate, and it's on the Instagram, It's on the interwebs for everyone to see for all eternity. And Kate could just die a slow death because she was like in, I don't know, early
like
high school.
Awkward.
Oh, loved Sadie Robertson more than anybody. And so I'm in Nashville and I flew Kate in and we interviewed her. I interviewed a bunch of other people, but Sadie brought her fiance at the time, Christian, and Kate about died. They're both there. And so there was cameras. We were doing the, and she couldn't look down her notes. And she was like, Sadie, And so we still make fun of her. But anyway, so I interviewed Sadie one time.
Poor Kate.
And we still tease her about it. And our friends are always like, should we pull up the Sadie Robertson interview on the...
No, so mean.
But then I've interviewed a couple others of them, John Luke and Corey. But one time I went to, I did it with our friend Jill, and we went to their house and interviewed them in Louisiana on their land. Gosh. It was so much fun. So I think Brett got to go with me because he's loved them so long. It was so fun. But I love that all of them... Mm. As we just lost Phil Robertson, all of them, even back when I was interviewing him, but now on their socials, are talking about how, I mean, he could be harsh, he could be a lot of things, but he was sold out on people knowing the gospel and people of sharing his faith, and what a legacy that he left. I just think it's been interesting to watch as he's passed away, that, I mean, he had drinking problems, he was mean, he had all kinds of things, but then the Lord transformed his life, and he spent the rest of his life, that's all he wanted to talk about, was, I want people to know, because it so changed my life, and I thought, wow, I mean, to have that kind of story, like, do we all approach life that way? Like, I'm so changed by Jesus, but that's the only thing I want you to hear out of my mouth, like, what a way to live, so.
And for, like, people like you and I, who grew up in the church.
I know.
We could say, oh, I don't have this big change story, but there are those who say, oh man, I wish I had the same testimony you do. I wish that I'd been protected from all the heartache and the hurt and
Well, you said this to me one time too. You're like, some of the people that you watch that have the biggest platforms or the biggest whatevers, they have had the biggest story. They've had to walk
a lot of
like,
hard. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want the hard that came with them getting to the, I was like, no. That's interesting, but
yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, I love them. I think they're super cool. Tell me this. I will say Sadie's been one of my favorite interviews. I mean, it's hard.
I'm just really thankful that generation has her.
Yeah.
Because she's a really great communicator of gospel truth. Like that is to their generation.
Totally. She speaks their language.
She speaks their language.
Kate has a sign or like, I don't know, like a poster saying a room that says, if you fear anything more than the Lord, then I don't know what, and now I'm picturing it, but basically it was the like, ends. You're giving it too much power in your life. And I just love that. It's a Sadie quote. I'm like, I love that Sadie speaks in a language that speaks to them, but, okay. And your interviews. Okay. I want to ask you a podcasting question. Then I'm going to wrap it up with something else. Favorite interviews
ever?
No, just, I mean, don't have to be a very favorite, but like top couple.
Oh gosh. Well, there's a woman in our church who, she was one of the, I think she was our church's first women's minister. And in her 50s, she went to seminary.
Mm.
5 kids.
Will you not say 50s like it's so old? In her 50s.
Well, and I
think. I don't know how she got out of bed.
I'm thinking that was probably 30 years ago she went. Women didn't go to seminary.
Oh, yeah, no.
So so she went after her kids were all out of the house and in a time when not a lot of women went to seminary. And so she's just like this icon of faith in our church. And she has mentored women who've mentored me.
Mm.
And she's just, anyway, amazing woman. And so I got to interview her and I did like a 2-part. And she passed away like a month later. And so it felt like in the interview, it was in person.
Did it feel like you were responsible?
No, it felt like she had 1 foot in heaven. Like all this faith that she's been living out all of these years, that she just was such a bold voice for faith. She was about to see it.
Eye to eye.
Yeah.
She knew my verse.
She knew your verse. But she would be someone who wouldn't, like if in women's ministry, she didn't get caught up in everybody's feelings. Like she's like, her famous line was, there's no grace for your imagination.
What does that mean? Talk about that.
So it kind of goes along with what we were saying, all these imagined scenarios, all these worst case imagined scenarios. Grace is in the actual heart. Grace is in the thing you're walking through right now.
Wow.
So whatever you're imagining, there's no grace there because you haven't it hasn't actually happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you putting energy into that?
Yeah.
Be present. Trust God in the moment. And when you do walk through the hard thing, He provides the grace to walk through it. So there's no grace for your imagination.
That's so good.
Yeah.
It reminds me
but she's a tough talker. I mean, right? Like
she ain't going to coddle you.
No coddling.
It reminds me of when I was speaking at Bentry, you know, on that Sunday that I did both services. Ugh. And I was so nervous before the second service. You wouldn't think before the first one, the second one. And I remember just being so mad at God. Like, I was like, I have prayed over this. You're the one who called me to do this. I didn't want to do this thing. And I was so nervous. And I was like, why are you not giving me peace about this? Why am I so fearful? And the minute I stepped on that stage, I was fine. Like, it was all gone and it went perfectly fine. And like, and I remember later feeling like the Lord was saying, like, I give it to you as you need it. Like, and like you're
it's
saying.
It's all the anticipatory fear. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean,
will it go as well as it did the first time? It was probably.
Well, I don't know.
Can I do it again? And it's like all these.
All the what if, whatever.
And what if
I felt
fears.
Like once I got there, like the Lord is like, and I've seen that other times in my life where I feel like, I don't have the information to be able to, or the whatever, the finances or the whatever to do that. And the Lord's like, yeah, well, you didn't need it today. So we're going to not. So, yeah.
And her name was Vicky Kraft.
Vicky Kraft.
Yeah. Okay. And crazy thing, you know, we would go to family camp every summer, which so sad we don't do that anymore. But we did that for a decade. Every summer we went to Pine Cove. Well, one summer that I was replaying that episode as my summer mentorship, her granddaughter was one of our counselors.
Oh, that's cool.
And got to hang out with her the whole week. Yeah, and I was like, this is crazy.
Wow.
The generation, the legacy.
So Heather and our on the summer, by the way, everybody, she does a summer mentorship and so mom episodes are always mom episodes, but that's a good thing to listen to this summer. Let's and you should listen to Sidetrack too, because it's real funny. We're being serious here. We're not usually funny.
Funny. We think we're funny.
I don't know. People listen, people show up. I don't know.
Or your friends that you can just hang out with while you're doing your regular life.
There's some girl that DMs us all the time that she listens to us when she runs, which is so great because you and I aren't running anywhere. And she always has to stop. She says she pees a little.
Oh, she said that?
I felt like that's
a good
compliment. I had to stop running because I was peeing. I was laughing so hard.
That should go in the reviews.
Yeah. Last thing. It's summer. You have 4 boys.
I know.
I have 2 boys and a girl. So a lot of children's around.
Mm-hmm.
Summer mentorship. Give our people a quick mentor. Give us 2 or 3 things that you do that make it easier or that you... I'll start because I didn't prep you for this. But I will say I've tried to take it easier on myself and them. And I just have to be like, just calm down, everybody. It's fine. Yeah. Stop setting the bar so high.
Yeah. Yeah. I think... it's feeding. Within you have a lot of boys. It's always food.
Oh, it's always food.
So, and beverages. So one of my tips is to always have kind of like a pitcher of the powdered lemonade.
Oh, okay.
Because it's sugary, so it meets that need for them, but it's not soda, which gets expensive. Oh. You can even make an iced tea one if you want, like a pitcher of iced tea, and they can do some Arnold Palmer action. I also, last summer, I created a Google Doc where I found just a bunch of recipes, like these are good things for breakfast, these are good for lunch, these are good for dinner. And then I would just kind of rotate through them.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had them there. And they were good summer recipes because there were a lot of grilling things or like...
You need to be sharing that with us.
I know. I have it. I can share it with you. That was helpful last summer. This summer, I'm implementing something that I just interviewed a gal. She does this. It's basically like an online camp for... It's called... life skills now, teaching your kids life skills.
Oh yeah, like laundry and all that kind of
thing. Yeah, all different things, like how to change a tire and all that stuff. Yeah. But she was talking about how she manages chores, whatever you want to call them, household duties. So we've just told the boys about our new plan.
Good.
We just told them last night.
I bet they were thrilled.
Thrilled, but how I broke it to them was I made that beef Wellington, which is like their favorite. So here's the beef Wellington and here are your jobs.
Here's your chores.
But it's basically a list of all the things, like things in the kitchen, things in the bathrooms, things around the house that I would have to do to keep things clean. They get to pick 3 of them, 3 of the jobs, and then everybody is going to fold their laundry and wash their sheets, make their bed.
Yeah.
And then on Sunday, after church, after lunch, we come home. And either that's when you do your jobs or that's when we check and make sure you did your job that week. And then you have the freedom
to do it. That's a good one because I don't have a D-Day for the things.
It's got to be D-Day. So if you don't do it by that point, you don't get to go see friends. You don't get to play games or whatever.
Okay. I like it.
Mm-hmm. We're going to give it a shot. I don't have any like, this works.
Yeah. No, I think that's good though. I think mine is just, like I said, kind of, I've decided I'm lowering the bar, especially because I have a little one and I'm older, but I'm like, I don't know. I used to think like, oh, I'd stress over screens and okay. So you know what? If they watch too much of a screen one day, like you haven't ruined them, everyone. If they eat too much junk or they don't have a lemonade on the counter or whatever the things are, like, I'm like, nothing is permanent other than safety. But you know what I mean? Like, and I'm just going to give myself credit for the fact that, you know, we're in church. We talk about the Lord. Mm-hmm. We 9 out of 10 times have healthy-ish food in the house for the day. Like, I'm just going to go with what the majority works, and I'm going to stop letting the outliers weigh me down.
I like it.
Thanks,
Heather. I think that's good.
Okay. Well, thanks for chatting. Thanks for sharing your wisdom. I mean, I don't know why I decided this is what we're going to do this summer, but we're going to do some of this. We're just gonna
summer wisdom.
Summer wisdom. Who doesn't need some? But then it sounds like it's all about summer.
No.
Wisdom for
wisdom with friends.
Friends wisdom.
Wise friends. Cynthia and friends.
That's like Jen, like on the Today Show. They have Jenna and friends.
Cynthia and friends.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Jen, for being here. And we will link Sidetrack. Go listen if you don't already, friends.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, a big thank you to Heather, especially since I gave her virtually no warning and just said, hey, we're already taping and I want to talk to you about this topic and what you've learned over the last year and share it with my audience. And she was like, okay. And so be sure and check out her podcast, Don't Mom Alone, if you don't already listen to it. If you don't follow her, she's amazing. And then again, the two of us together have kind of a comedy one we call Sidetracked. You can catch it anywhere where you listen to podcasts. So we'd love for you to listen to that as well. All right, you guys, thanks for being a part of the Mesmerized family. Take a minute, leave a review for the show, share it with a friend, and I'll be talking to you soon when I get back in town. Thanks, guys.
Offer valid on standard browsers, U.S. only.
When I heard about Date My Age, I thought, really? But there I was in my empty, quiet house, my laptop on the kitchen counter, and I typed in my name. Looking for a man between the ages of 40 to 60? Sure, why not?
Date My Age is different. With verified profiles, you can feel safe and secure to explore meaningful connections with interesting and mature singles.
Date My Age made it really easy. I could join and view online profiles for free. All of a sudden, my empty house wasn't so quiet anymore. I got so much attention, it just made me feel seen and alive. Date My Age helped me start a totally new chapter in my life.
Find a friend, a lover, a partner at Date My Age. Get 60% off when you join at datemyage.com today. That's datemyage.com to connect with thousands of singles worldwide. datemyage.com.